What's up, everybody? DJ Bucky here with Move the Sticks. Before you get to your episode, Bucky, tell them what's coming up on our latest episode.
We're going to give you a little insight on how to get into the scouting biz, and then we're going to break down the best games from the NFL and also the college.
Yeah, a lot of ground to cover. You'll find it on iTunes. You can find Move the Sticks videos on YouTube as well as NFL.com/MTSvideo.
Going to the hurry-up offense.
Yeah, let's get to the hurry-up. No time to waste. Week 4 is upon us here. And welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, presented as always by McDonald's All-Day Breakfast. Go get you some. Now it's an expanded menu.
Yes.
Biddles are out there for you. Biscuits, so on.
I still go sausage McMuffin. I still think that's the gold standard.
To me, egg McMuffin is where it's at.
I'd rather have the sausage patty than
you hear the voices of Matt Money Smith and our old pal Elliot Harrison.
It's my
back
fake voice,
studio,
by the way,
66.
That I just put on for this.
We'll say proper hellos, but like I say, let's get to the hurry up, fellas. Elliot, I start with you. You're from the state. Things are bleak for pro football teams in your beloved Lone Star State. Will they, over the course of this season, succeed or succeed?
That's a great wordplay. I'm going to say succeed. The Cowboys are
succeed sounds bad, actually, the way we're
it's my Invisalign. It's my first week. You know,
humble brag. I'm being middle-aged, but I'm fixing my teeth.
That's right.
I got to look my
man. Look at these chompers.
Hey, got to take care of the money maker.
That's right. And
so, go ahead.
And so it begins, right?
Let's go, boy.
Hey, I think Tony Romo gets his job back. I think after the Philadelphia games, the Eagles game is after the bye. I think that next week Romo gets the job back. They'll be at least 4-4. They succeed. The Texans, I don't know. They're not going to be bad. I think the Texans are more of an 8-8 team at this point. Maybe 9-7.
Quickly, are you picking the Cowboys to win the division then?
Right now I am, yep.
Wow.
I'm going to go succeed. You know why? I'm tired of these people in Texas thinking that their state's so great. Like, oh, we'd be better on our own. Okay. All right, Ann Richards. All right, Rick Perry. Let's see what you can do.
Don't you ever.
Hey, I know she's passed. I know she's passed. I can still invoke her name. You think you're so special. Go ahead, secede. Let's see how long you last. You'll be part of Mexico before I blink.
What about Admiral Chester Nimitz?
By the way, before we go down the rabbit hole of Texas history, I think that the thing that the Texans have going for them is that they happen to be in a bum division. Now the best player on the only halfway decent team in the division is now out for what appears to be.
It's going to be a 7-9 division winner.
They've got other parts that are playing pretty
well.
Their
defense is loaded. I agree with that. But
maybe not against New England.
You know
nice
what,
adjustment.
You know what one part they still have? Brock Osweiler.
Throw pick, see ya.
All right. But is that good enough to beat out the, is that
I don't
to beat
know.
Bortles, Jags,
7-9
Colts?
Telling you, 7-9.
Can I just make one little vote, though?
This is the hurry up.
Tennessee is a lot better than people think they are. They just haven't quite put it
bad
together.
Bad break last week.
Bad break last week.
What does that
talking
have
about Taylor Lewan?
Yeah.
The Goonery? Yeah, that was brutal. Did you see that?
And I like Taylor Lewan,
brutal.
Too.
I do, too.
All right, there's some first place. Well, there are, in fact, many first place teams out there. Who's the worst of the first place teams right now? Matt Money Smith.
I'm gonna go Falcons. Because I don't like their defense at all, and they have not really played anybody at all that would make you say, yeah, they really showed us. So the Rams at least have a defense and a solid running back. Their O-line stinks. But there's no way they're going to win that division. Neither of those teams are.
But, I mean, you got the Ravens are out there as well. I think they're a fraudulent team.
Yeah.
They should have lost at least once, if not a couple of times.
Somewhere. Boy, that's tougher than I thought.
You could also go with the Texans.
Falcons.
I tell you what, I'm kind of with money on this one because the Rams at least have what it takes to succeed in cold weather football. They can run the ball. They do have a good defense. I think Baltimore might – I mean, you never know with Baltimore. They're either a 5-11 team or 11-5. So I think Atlanta is probably the right choice here. I'd say it's between Atlanta and the Rams.
It seems to me that this thing in Los Angeles, the second biggest market, not getting proper attention, perhaps because they're 2-1, which is masking the ugly truth that Jared Goff, I mean, what is going on there?
And it's not going to end.
Case Keenum does not have a big league arm. I know that he's won games, so you can cite that. I'm sure Jeff Fisher is pointing at that. We'll look at the last handful of games he's played going back into last
December.
Oh, they're
pushing that. He's 5-2.
Right.
Case Keenum, 5-2 in his last 7. Okay, then why'd you trade up for Jared Goff?
Right.
Why'd you give up 6 picks to go get Jared Goff?
But you look at Atlanta money. They drafted Keanu Neal. He got hurt.
Yep.
They needed him bad for the defense. He was supposed to be the Cam Chancellor of that defense. they've got no pass rush, man. They're relying on Dwight Freeney.
You're right, but that running game looks so good.
It does.
It looks so good.
Gives him a chance.
Yeah.
Definitely gives him a chance.
That's tougher than I thought it was. I figured I'd go Atlanta and just not look back, but now I am.
I'm looking forward to Sunday night watching the Kansas City Chiefs against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Want to see if the Steelers can bounce back there, see if the Chiefs are perhaps the second or third best team in the AFC. I think one of those two things will rise up and be true. That's what I wanted to mention. Ike Taylor and I go on Facebook and track it down. Look at the NFL account on Facebook. Ike and I broke down the Antonio Brown v. Marcus Peters matchup. That should be a dandy there. Yeah. What are you going to be watching? Give me two things, Elliot Harrison, that you're watching this weekend. Could be football. Could be entertainment. I don't know.
Well,
be a musical. I don't care.
I'm going to piggyback you a little bit on this Pittsburgh-Kansas City. I love that uni matchup. Kansas City-wide at Heinz. We have several good uni matchups. I always thought Detroit at Chicago was an underrated one.
Two things you're watching. It's the hurry up.
Yeah, that's
all we're doing.
That's fair.
All we're doing.
That's fair. Yeah. Thank you, money.
Two things that you're going to watch.
You're all over me right now. What's the new Western that's out?
We'll get into game picks in a little bit.
Seven.
Yeah, I want to go see that this
week. There you go.
It doesn't look good. All right, go ahead.
Doesn't look good?
See the original. Yul Brynner. Come on.
Yeah, Brynner is a
– Ten Commandments, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Yul Brynner. King and I.
Yeah.
All those things.
And the cigarette commercial.
Well.
I'm Yul Brynner, and I'm dead.
He was great.
That's a creepy commercial.
Great.
So not as good as a cowboy.
Yes, certainly.
He's a cowboy.
Two things. One, you mentioned Marcus Peters, the guy that Chris Peterson kicked off his team because he didn't want to take any S from some of Sark's players that had a sense of entitlement. And you know how good he was and what kind of bold move it was for a head coach to try to get control of a program. Look where they're at now. This is the big showdown for the Pac-12 North. Stanford, Washington. We'll see whether or not Washington's a fraud. They struggled in Arizona on their first road game. So very much looking forward to that. And I really liked – I'm not a superhero guy. I really am not. But I love that Jessica Jones series on Netflix, and their spinoff, Luke Cage, is out tomorrow. I'm going to give that a go. I really like that.
You watched the Stranger Things because that's the show I keep.
Just binged it, went through it in about 3 days. It was.
I enjoyed it, but I'm not as much for the sci-fi stuff.
I dug it.
I mean, I like sci-fi. I mean, like more.
That I thought was really well done. You know what?
Stephen Kingy. I like the vibe of it. I like the tone and look and what they were.
And not to get too high and mighty here, but I love science. And one of the great things about Stranger Things is the physics principles behind it are legitimate. You know, sort of quantum, or no, what would they be? I don't even know what
quantum
they would
physics.
Be. Nah, I guess it would be quantum physics. The idea of using, you know, an immense amount of energy to break through into another dimension. They actually took that idea of the underneath from one of the foremost physics thinkers, professors in the world. And
let's break through to another dimension called the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Start the show. Yes, hi and hello, and welcome to the DDFP. As mentioned, presented, as always, by McDonald's All Day Breakfast. Go get you some of that delicious stuff any time of the day. I say it every time, or almost every time, and you know the policy here in Studio 66. No jive, and so you know it's true. I really am hungry for it now. When I talk about it, it really makes
me... The all-day breakfast.
Yeah.
Well, because we grew up in an era where it was kept from us.
10:30.
Where we dreamt of it, and we would, you know, hop on our Huffy Pro Thunder, if you grew up poor like I did, and get to that McDonald's, at, you know, before... I think it was 10 o'clock, if I remember right, when I was growing up.
You didn't know what was... You didn't know a tough life. I don't care. The south side of Chicago, it's all flat there. Pittsburgh, PA, rolling hills.
When you gotta ride
those bikes. Climbing up on my mongoose, you know, my mongoose dirt
bike. Mongoose, everybody wanted a mongoose.
Yeah, that's a fancy bike. Boy, talk about a child of privilege right here.
Did you have a big wheel? Did you have a big wheel?
I didn't. There was a kid in our neighborhood that got killed riding that thing. So my dad was like, those things are too low profile. You're staying high. I'm surprised he didn't put me on like a unicycle to ride super high. Sorry to bring you down.
Physics.
Child death.
Big wheel deaths. That's what you can expect when you tune in.
Welcome. Aren't you happy to have me?
The greatest sports radio show in all the land, Petros and Money. You can find it on iHeartRadio And you can watch him as the host of NFL Fantasy Live. Here he is, everybody, Matt Money Smith.
Thanks, everybody. Glad to be back. Seems like I'm I got a bit of a residency, huh?
Yeah, you
every
do.
Every Thursday.
It's terrific. But look at that. Look who's here with us. Yeah. Speaking of which, to participate in the beloved Red Challenge flag pick segment coming up, we got a gaggle of games coming at you. You can watch him as well on NFL Fantasy Live. You see him on Total Access, NFL.com. All over the place. Here he is, Texas's own Elliot Harrison. What's a poop, fella?
You can just say you're sick of me. It's okay.
Smell it.
Yeah, really, I'm dewy like you usually are, man. I mean,
I don't know why your problem somehow.
See what I mean?
Is
he
like
could have just said, "I'm kind of dewy today." Instead, no, he has to invoke you. Hey, well, just like you.
You took my spot. That used to be my spot.
Hey, guess what, everybody? Big surprise, all the way from London,
what?
England. Our resident Miami Dolphins fan. Here he is. The start of very important stuff. Our pal, Handsome Hank.
All right.
Cheers, fella. What's happening?
Welcome to London, Dave.
Where are you? Are you at your parents' home or is that a hotel?
I'm in a hotel, but this is what a lot of London looks like behind me. And so welcome. It's exciting to have you guys here.
It is.
Multiple bottles of water.
Yeah, how much are those? $5 a piece?
They have $5 a piece. I'm drinking some of it here. This is clean London water.
This was well produced. We reach out across the Atlantic Ocean, across the continental U.S., across the sea to London, England, and the backdrop is a hotel room.
We meet that bird in the sky.
For me, it's a choice. It was a choice between Big Ben. I could have stood, you know, it's not very far away. I could have gone there, but I thought just some beige wallpaper would do it for
me. I like
you.
It. Well, it's done. A nice striped wallpaper, very Four Seasons-ish, if you will.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
What's the good word in front of the big game there? Are people excited about it now? Or legitimately, Hanson, we've talked about this, that at some point, like Bengals fans, at some point are going to say, all right, you got to win a game in January. The English, the Europeans are at some point going to say, we don't want any pro football game. Give us a couple of good teams. Where do they come down now on the Colts-Jags gangbuster?
There hasn't been a lot of luck over the years with the teams arriving. Like the teams, you know, often the teams will look good, and then by the time they get here, they've lost multiple games. I think people are excited about Andrew Luck because he has actually had a bit of presence in this country. He's come out to London, I think, two or three times. He's run some quarterback camps for kids here. He's known here. He actually, I worked for his dad in London, so he grew up here a little bit as well. So he has some local history. So I think people will be excited. Obviously, he's the highest paid player. And so I think people are understanding that it's a big deal that Andrew Luck's coming here and are excited to see him.
You know, Hank, we talked about, and check, you know, this is the 30th anniversary of when the Bears played the Cowboys in preseason, and it was a big deal. You know, they had Refrigerator Perry and Too Tall Jones and the cover of Sports Illustrated. Right. Phil Collins, all these celebrities were out for it. And I don't know if it – is it as
Phil Collins.
Oh, well, in 1986, man, it didn't get much bigger
against
than
all odds, man. Yes.
Against all odds. Yeah. But that was a preseason
this
game.
This is the world we live in.
Oh! Was Studio already out by then, Studio?
Has any Studio band ever fallen from Genesis at its height is a little overrated in my book. I don't love their Peter Gabriel.
Hold on. I got to play the – well, I mean, Genesis with Peter Gabriel is fantastic.
I know. It's
somebody's always got to do that.
But who wants to sit through?
Yes?
Well, Yes was different. I mean, Yes was more of a touring band, kind of a musician's band, whereas Genesis was cranking out hits. I mean, nothing against their, you know, ability to play their instruments, but they were a hit machine, whereas Yes was recognized as this kind of prog rock, super deep, you got to listen to the album from beginning to end to really appreciate it. So, not
sounds
quite.
Like Emerson, Lake, and Palmer to me.
Same thing. I mean, yeah, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer also prog rock. So.
Is that the word? But is Genesis from their heights to Cheese Ball? Is that the biggest drop? Whoever, Rolling Stones, I guess, but they didn't have, they didn't sell out because they didn't have great success.
That's a good
success.
One. I mean, that's it because they were widely respected when Peter Gabriel was their front
even
man.
Even their first couple of records with Phil Collins were all right.
It I would say, it ended with a lot of soft rock hits,
and
you
puppets.
Know, and that's not where you want to end up.
Well, you say Peter Gabriel. Did you ever see Say Anything, Hank?
No, what is that?
Say Anything?
John Cusack, it's an American coming-of-age classic.
Well, before you go with
no, I don't think I've ever seen it.
I mean,
that's where he's holding up to Peter
Gabriel. Yeah, In Your Eyes. I mean, Peter Gabriel was the biggest thing on MTV, and I believe it was 84, the sledgehammer, you know, big time. But I'll say this, I do think I have one that might rival it, especially because it could be the greatest brass section ever amassed for a rock band, and that's Chicago. And you think of what Chicago was on the original, you know, the Chicago Transit Authority record, you know, and then what they became, kind of that Peter Cetera again.
Hard Habit to Break.
Yeah, you know, sort of ballads.
Also, Easy Lover, that's where Phil Collins winds up. He goes with Philip Bailey, right? Yeah. And they sing, I've talked about it before, Handsome Indulge Me from Across the Sea for a moment. While I revisit this.
Yes.
Who are these two people? These two guys, Phil and Phil, who both, the backstory is, if you're listening to the lyrics, she's an easy lover.
She'll hold on you, believe it.
Before you know it, you'll be on your knees.
Yeah.
She'll ruin your life. They make it clear. Right. She'll ruin your life. But they both know it, which means they've both been with her. Where was the warning? If they're such good buddies, why didn't the one warn the other? Don't be with her. I've been down that path. You don't want to go that way,
Phil. Is it in the first line of the chorus? She's an easy lover. It's easy. It's easy to find your way into her web. Once you get caught in that web.
You go to a bar one night. It wasn't your intention, but she's such an easy lover. You find yourself loving her.
Right.
I see. Handsome. Two things.
Hey, Dave, have you ever seen Phil Collins's movie, Buster?
Yes.
Unfortunately, I have.
Yes. Well done, Hank. I thought you were going to go Tarzan. You know, he did the soundtrack to Tarzan. My young lad likes it quite a bit. No.
I didn't know that, but in Buster, he plays Buster, who was the great train robber of England, one of the most notorious criminals of all time. And I'm not sure he does it justice, to be honest with you.
Handsome, we have a lot of important stuff to get to here still. We have to get to the game picks and beyond. We have to say our farewell to Sully, the producer, who has a great new bit for us to unveil here. So before we let you go, is Andrew Luck – what's your sense? Is he the biggest star in the NFL? Who do the English seem most excited about right now?
Oh, I think – no, not in the NFL. I think Odell Beckham, he came over here earlier in the summer. I think people are excited about him. I think it's him. It's probably Tom Brady as well. You know, he's known over here. I think J.J. Watt probably gets some attention. But Andrew Luck's definitely – you know, on that list and on the rise.
Hey, something, and the last thing, Handsome, is Elliot, you can try and participate. I don't know that you have any children just yet, but it's caught fire here on the DDFP with the listeners. Dads and dad jokes have gotten to be popular. People have started sending some to us. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, Handsome, why don't you, before you go off and eating pretzels or whatever you're going to go do around London town, do you have a dad joke for us?
Well, you know what? I saw my dad this weekend,
and
I asked him for a dad joke. So this is like a grandfather joke, but also a dad joke, and I really like this one. So I'll see if you guys like it too. What do you call a hen that's staring at a pile of lettuce?
What do you call a hen that's staring at a pile of lettuce?
Chicken Caesar salad.
I like it. That's a good one. Do you want to stick around, Handsome? Do you want to hear some listeners?
That is good.
I just want to hear some more.
All right, go ahead. Let's see what some of the Czech Republic and beyond have sent us. Why are pirates called pirates, Handsome? Tim and Tom NFL ask.
I like that one. Why are pirates called pirates?
Because they are.
That's a good one.
The pirate jokes seem kind of easy. I bet each of us could make up a pirate joke.
If we're going to critique money, maybe you should throw one out then.
All right, right now. Pirate joke?
Well, no.
This is my point. So, fine, I'll go first, and I'm stalling right now because I'm trying to craft one in my brain.
I can insert a dad.
All right, here we go. Where do pubescent 14-year-old like-to-smoke pirates hang out?
Where?
The arcade. See what I mean?
I think that the laugh's a little too hearty.
I put some pressure on myself.
Where's another listener one here? We got I liked that one was all right.
It was terrible.
How did Amy Heisler asks, how about this for a dad joke? What do you call it when Batman skips church, Handsome?
what do you call it when Batman skips church, Dave?
Christian Bale.
That is good.
That's a pretty good
That is good.
Elliot wants to put the cherry on top. Let's go.
All right. Hank, what do you call a fish without an eye?
I don't know, Elliot. What do you call a fish without an eye? That's a good one as well.
Handsome liked it.
That
the audience
that was
like
a legitimate
that
laugh too.
I'm an easy lover as well.
Yeah. Hold on, you believe it.
Oh, I know that.
Get it in the control room. Yeah.
I've been on road trips with you, Handsome. I know what you're about. All right, Handsome. Have a great time in London. We look forward to your safe return. Have a
you
great time with the you know,
wallpaper.
Family and the wallpaper, the bottles of water and everything else. All right, so there he goes, the great Handsome Hank, and from that nice little bit there, a little bit of sorrow for us because
what?
Sully, one of our favorite producers, is leaving once again. So too is Mick G. He's produced here and for the Around the NFL show. Our pal Ryan's going to head out. Oh, in London, in Wembley, I've already been promised by a couple of listeners that they will be taking Football Baby. It's Flat Stanley, but better. If you go to my Twitter account, at Damashek, you will find a picture that you can print out of Football Baby and take him there with you so he can experience. There are 34 stadiums in which pro football games are going to be played this year, including Mexico City and Wembley. So let's get him out to London Town, across the sea, and elsewhere around Football America.
Can I make a recommendation?
You may.
You know, the great thing about Flat Stanley is it's like a little person. It's a cutout, you know? I think maybe just, like, put a dotted line around the football so you can maybe cut out the football head and, like, hold it up, like, over the face of somebody that you're with as opposed to just a sheet of paper.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? I think it might be a more successful campaign if
all
we
right,
do it
well,
that way.
So far we're meeting with some success here.
Yeah.
But yeah, that not a bad idea. All right. Like I say, though, so we're losing.
That was a dismissive answer.
I wasn't dismissive. I'm trying to – you know what it
I'm
is?
I'm just trying to help
Money,
out,
it's pace, fella. It's pace. Now, listen. I want to talk about Sully. I want to talk about Ryan Hart. And
okay.
I want to talk about McGee. We're losing them once again. They're going off, and hopefully they'll be back at some point soon. But if you've been listening to the show for any amount of time, you know that Sully comes in here periodically and offers up some really awful segment ideas like before. What was the first one we did there? We did quarterbacks as vegetables.
Quarterbacks as vegetables.
Then a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago, I should say, we did what?
Desserts and wide receivers.
Desserts as wide receivers as desserts, vice versa. And before you go off to College Station to watch your beloved Tennessee Vols,
that's right.
Try and take down the Aggies there. You have one more for us.
What that's right. Right. Let's definitely review.
Lucky us.
So that we did desserts, and we want to look back at our desserts first.
Let's take a listen back.
Let's take a listen back. Sophomore wideout Amari Cooper is cupcakes. He would be a cupcake because it's a trendy dessert. It's up and coming. A very trendy thing to do is open up a little cupcake shop.
Ike doesn't like this.
Ike's not liking it.
No, the cupcake. It's hard.
Is it not a trendy dessert?
Listen. What if your nickname was Cupcake?
Boy,
it's hard to call. It's just hard to call.
Hard to call.
I know.
I know what you're saying.
Cupcake. Amari Cupcake.
Oh, wow.
There it is.
Winning.
That's it. All right.
I got a fist bump. Winning by a narrow decision at best, a technical. Now look at that. Matt Money Smith eating wings now. We have an array of appetizers here. That's because why, Sully?
I like this bit.
Because we're doing running backs as appetizers.
All right. I listen, that's going the extra mile to actually give us food out here.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. We got to thank our operations.
You guys are method producers. Job. They're method actors, but I like that you don't
Shek,
trust.
By the way, why do you have three to yourself over here?
Don't worry about what
what the hell?
Okay. I need what I need.
Yeah.
All right. Get into it, Sully.
Let's kick this thing off. First one is an easy one. It's a softball. Eddie Lacy is cheese fries. He plays in Green Bay, the Packers.
And no, that's wrong.
And he's
a, not right.
He'd be cheese curds.
Cheese fries. It's a fat joke.
Well, I mean, I would just say, I think cheese curds, right? Sorry.
Fine.
You're
it's
Green
good.
Bay.
Cheese curds is good, but, I mean, cheese
sorry,
curds.
Sully.
That was kind of like an appetizer to the appetizers, I think.
Yeah. We're cranking it up.
I think that's fair.
We're cranking it up.
Fair. Yep. Let's improve.
Here's another softball stepping it up, though. Todd Gurley is a food truck taco. He's trendy, and he's in L.A.
Okay.
That's another softball.
Those are utilitarian.
Utilitarian.
You're making regional references.
Regional, right.
Food trucks are all over.
I mean,
LA.
I guess street tacos do make an appearance on a few appetizer menus. So I was like, taco's not an appetizer.
See, that's why.
But, all right.
Yeah, street taco
girly is an artichoke.
Because?
Because he doesn't get any help. The artichoke, they just put it out on the plate for you, and you just have to sit there and you peel it off, but it doesn't come with anything cool at all. Talk early doesn't come with anything.
Not bad.
That's good.
Not bad.
You know what? Better than not bad, Elliot. Well done, Sully. Yeah. Okay. All right, go ahead, Sully. The bar's now been raised.
David Johnson, seven-layer nachos. He's versatile.
Yes.
Everything comes together.
I agree.
Everybody's had a heck of a plate of nachos in Arizona, I'm sure.
It's everything you need, right?
Everything you need. It's all right there. Okay. Sour cream, yeah. He
can now you're rolling, fella. Keep it going.
CJ Anderson is a jalapeno popper. He's short, stubby, yet spicy.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
He wears orange like something spicy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, look, it's kind of orangey in the background there for the monitor. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right,
okay.
All right, keep going.
Next one, Jeremy Hill is egg drop soup because he drops the ball a lot.
I like that one. I vote yes on that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
What's he best known for is his fumbling.
Well, it's fumbling. He fumbles the ball.
That's pretty good.
He fumbles the ball.
I need more mainstream appetizers.
Okay.
This is
here we go. Here we go.
You don't like a nice egg drop soup?
No. Here we go. Lev Bell is pot stickers. I kind of don't.
No,
I don't remember. I don't remember why I said pot stickers.
Lev Bell.
I can't imagine.
Lev Bell's.
Yeah, I can't remember why Lev Bell would
guacamole.
Yeah, the avocado. It's never ready when you want it to be.
It's also
the avocado is ripe when it wants to be.
Well, and it's green.
Yeah,
but I think
Elliot's over here getting clever.
I figured out the pot stickers thing for
Lev
Bell. Keep going.
You figured it out.
I think I got that one. I don't know if Elliot got it.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't get it.
Yeah, can you explain it to me? Sully, can you explain it to me?
I kind of forgot why that was even.
I wish he could remember
where that one came.
Listen, I'd like things explained to me. I don't know why.
Okay. Here's a good one. Jerick McKinnon is spinach artichoke dip. It's never your first choice, but when you have it, you remember how good it is.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. It's not AP.
I like it.
But yeah. Okay. Okay.
I would say he's carrot sticks and celery sticks medley.
What? Yeah, it's what you have. If it's all you have, then you're gonna pick at it.
You don't have ranch. Really if you don't have ranch with it, then it's just gonna be terrible.
Yeah, that's good.
I like it. Here's really an on the nose one. LeSean McCoy is Buffalo Wings.
Because
obviously they're both in Buffalo.
I don't get it.
And he played for the Eagles.
But also, he's another versatile guy. Buffalo wings, surprisingly versatile. You can go Asian zing. You can go garlic parmesan. You can go spicy. You can bring it down a little bit. You can bring it up a little bit. You can kick it up a notch. He's the same way.
I thought I talked to you about Shady McCoy.
Yes.
Yesterday, Sully, and I suggested that Shady is calamari.
Right. I like your spin on this.
Calamari, because calamari is sometimes good if you get the circle one, but if you get the tentacle one,
it freaks you out a little bit.
Stringy,
no
good. Stringy too.
You don't want the tentacle.
It's gross.
Calamari.
I'm gonna have to go with Dave on this.
Shady. Sometimes the circle calamari, sometimes the tentacle.
Nah, I'm coming in with one here.
All right, let's do it.
He's Jello. Nothing wiggles like Shady.
Oh,
is Jello an appetizer?
Sometimes you go to the Sizzler; it's there at the salad bar, right?
That's right. Oh, the old Western Sizzler! What an establishment!
Darn right, man.
That's right. Last one, Darren Sproles. He's small. He slides. He's a slider. Always gets it done.
Okay, see, I have a different one. For
so
Darren
a hamburger
Sproles.
mini,
right.
But mini, same thing.
Do the job as a burger. Does the job.
Right?
It does the job.
Okay, see, Darren Sproles to me is the two big potato skins because they've got all that little stuff on it, right? And he can do a lot of little things, but he's only good for two big games a year. So
okay.
Like in fantasy, he'll give you two points, and all of a sudden he gives you 20 points in week 8.
Yeah.
Potato skins are always disappointing because you get a plate and it's just two big potato skins. Like I like appetizers where I've got like 20 things to grab.
It's
right?
not very shareable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
Remember when Tater Skins like took over the nation?
Yes. I was just going to say.
It became like the biggest appetizer.
I'd say late 80s.
Yep. And they came out with potato chips.
Judge Roy Beans.
Tater Skins got baked potato appeal. Tater Skins from Keebler.
Did y'all have
that?
Yeah, you could get frozen ones and
yeah,
everything.
Frozen.
Yeah,
right.
Did y'all have Judge Roy Beans?
No.
No.
Man, we're living in the 80s.
I think
potato skins.
The potato skin thing should be somebody who should be better than – like Ryan Matthews maybe because the potato skin, it's
the idea
potato,
of it. Oh,
it's
bacon, potato,
cheese, and yet it's –
they're always unsatisfying.
You know? Yeah.
Yep. Always. There's only two of them.
They score negative 0.7 points.
Sully, you never unsatisfying when you do one of these cockamamie little segments here. And
get this food away from me.
A delight. I love Sully and McGee.
Love you too, guys.
And Ryan. Will be the place will be worse for your absence, but we hope that UT goes on a nice run for you.
Very happy.
I thought of Sully and Dan Helly of NFL Network when I saw that route. I was watching that game last Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
I got it on the DVR. I was out with the kids all day, so I didn't get to sit down till night. And 90 seconds in, 7-0 Gators.
Yep.
21-0.
Here we go again.
What an exorcism that was for Vols fans, eh?
Oh, it feels nice.
All right.
Really
well,
nice. All right, fellas.
I hope you'll remember that when you have a couple of disappointing losses.
Like this week.
We're winning in Athens.
It's
a trap game, but we're winning.
This is Tennessee. This is Tennessee football. You finally exercise that demon, and this is where karma comes back to get you. I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because after that Appy State game, I don't know if it was the Vols or if it was the SEC Network sent out the most ridiculous tweet. Right at the end of the game, you know, something like Vols just wanted it more. It's like, wait a minute. They fumbled three times in the last 5 minutes. The final one, which was recovered for a touchdown. It should have been a turnover or a stop.
Evidently,
goal line.
Evidently, Jalen Hurd wanted that more.
That's it, man. They wanted it more. This is the week. You watch.
You guys are way big college football people compared to me, but I always thought it was weird that Peyton Manning graduated. And they were better with T. Martin throwing the ball to Peerless Price that next year.
Didn't they win the championship?
Yeah,
we did. I was there in Tempe. Yeah. Because we exercised the Florida demon. Peyton couldn't beat him in Tempe.
Bill Simmons Ewing theory.
Not only could he not beat them.
They beat the brakes off of us.
I mean, he was god-awful against Florida year in and year out. It was something to watch how bad he was.
I was in early on that. Like, Peyton doesn't exactly rise against against the toughest foes.
Yeah, that's whatever reason.
What do you know, Damashek hating on
I'm not hating on anybody. I'm pointing out a fact. Now hit the bricks, Sully. I wish it would have been gone last week.
Get all this out of my face.
All right. Now it's time. All has been an appetizer to the main course. It's time for the Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Week 4 is here. Let's pick some of these games. Last week, Emma VP and Matt Gothard behind the glass did gangbusters work. They turned the Red Challenge Flag segment into a restaurant-themed sort of thing. And after all, it is a menu of games that awaits our eyeballs and earballs and beyond. This week 4.
You're going to lose her to Wendy Williams. I'm telling you, man.
That's where
she is going to be head writer at Wendy Williams before you know it.
All right. Good luck with that,
Emma VP. This is good stuff.
Brought the menus in.
Thank you, Emma.
And, it's a Mexican restaurant.
You don't say.
La Casa de Sheck. Matt Money Smith. Look at what an amigo he is. Look at where in the.
Grassy ass.
Where?
Senor.
Rero. All right, what do we have? Who's our waiter today? Oh, it's Emma again. Okay,
it's
very
me
good.
Again, yes.
Excellent.
It is not Emma. It is Emma. Buenos dias, Emma. ¿Cómo estás? Emma.
Let's start with some cocktails, shall we? We have the Seahawks versus Jets margarita. The lemon-lime clad Seahawks, led by a tipsy Wilson in a frozen locket, take on a salty Jets defense and a Fitzpatrick on the rocks. If you like an extra punch, please ask your server for a shot of Argino.
It's brilliant.
Excellent.
It's amazing.
Excellent.
It's brilliant. That is amazing.
Right? I'm just worried that the music is too loud that it might obscure your work there, Emma VP. Real quick, let's go around. These are just appetizers. Money, who do you got in that one? Seahawks, Jets.
Seattle.
Elliot.
I'm going to have to agree with that. I got Seattle.
I have a hunch the Jets are going to steal this one. I don't like the high ankle sprain for Wilson. Trip across the country. Leonard Williams and company getting it going there. A humiliating performance by Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think a bounce.
I'm looking at the sangria right now. I'm sorry.
What other drinks are on this menu here?
Speaking of sangria, we have the Bills versus Patriots sangria.
Ooh.
Taste the rust of Tyrod in our soon-to-be chopped Rex mix, stirred with a shady umbrella garnish. Plus, substitute in your favorite slices of Garoppolo, Brissett, or even Edelman. All are guaranteed winners.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
Steve Grogan would even win a game there.
Not get crazy.
I don't know. He might be.
Neck roll or no neck roll?
Oh,
neck
mummified.
Okay, then all right. Gotta go. Then all right. Then he'll win.
14's wearing the neck
roll. Oh, dude, by this final year, he's mummified.
Yeah.
Elliot, who you got there?
I'm going with Grogan's old team, the Patriots.
Money?
No, not even. I mean, Rex beating Bill Belichick? Come on.
The one thing that I keep saying this week that really would be funny, if you really want to troll Rex and your Belichick, I mean, Rex, this is his season every time
yes.
he plays the Patriots. But, of course, now he also dislikes the Jets. The double whammy you could pull on him is Belichick goes and trades for Geno Smith and starts Geno and beats Rex.
Love it.
That would be
great.
Awesome.
Love it.
But the Patriots will win that one. Last drink, last cocktail here. Oh, there is Geno. Look at that. Geno.
Oh.
In high school, was on the Patriots.
The Miramar Patriots.
The Miramar Patriots. How about that? With that
sweet
exact
uni.
Same logo.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, what else?
All right, so our last cocktail is the Rams versus Cardinals Pina Colada.
Pina Colada.
Cool down in the dry desert heat with the girly drink of your fantasy. Get your sweet fits with this blend of coconut cream of the crop running backs, drops of the Rams receivers, and a shaken palmer.
Excellent work,
right?
VP.
Thank you.
Money?
Brilliant.
Say you. Dinero?
It's a route. I mean, a straight route.
You think so?
Yes,
huh?
I think 3 touchdowns, Cardinals.
Elliot.
Yeah, I don't give 2 squirrels farts that the Rams won last week.
Farts.
I don't know where that comes from. We're in a restaurant.
Plate of nachos.
You know what? Actually, farts. Though, I should say the Rams did go and beat Arizona last
they
year.
They did.
Todd Gurley
they
ran
swept
for a
Seattle.
50.
Here's one of the most undercovered stories of the first 3 weeks. Carson Palmer's been terrible.
And the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, you go back, he didn't play well against Green Bay. I don't care that the Rams won, not because I'm disrespecting the Rams, because the Bucs, man, their defense, I just don't trust them. But I got Arizona, too.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to it. The main course this week. What are the specials, Emma?
Our first special
Emma.
Is the Colts versus Jaguars fajitas. Dorset your table with our sizzling platter of stuffed gore peppers and panhandle fried Bortles. Touch the serving dish all you want. The Jaguars are not as hot as advertised.
I see.
Very good. Yeah, because you can't touch the handle.
No.
Did you get it
skillet,
there?
Yeah, the fajitas. Skillet,
congratulations, London Town. Another gem for you. Hey, let's start with Elliot. You make your assertion, then we'll discuss it, and then Money will decide. Does he want to throw the red challenge flag when we are finished analyzing what might happen in this one? Elliot, go
ahead. Neither of these teams have looked very good on defense. Colts actually have looked worse, I think, on defense. But I'm going to give Indy the win here. Jacksonville. This
all right,
Baba.
Okay, that's your so you're
gonna, you're supposed to make the pick. We're gonna do the debating here. You're gonna make the pick. We're gonna do the debating.
Y'all
then you're gonna
debate.
Circle back.
Go ahead. Who do you got?
Just who do
who
you got?
Who is your team? Colts.
I was doing dramatic pause. Colts.
Okay, Colts. All right, Money. How say you?
Neither of the teams have very good defenses, and I would say the Colts is even worse. I'm gonna put that out there. All right, I take the Colts as well. And the Jags are so disappointing. I so wanted them to have the leap, to make the leap, to take the ATN idea away from them, make the leap this year. I love the young talent. I'm a big Jalen Ramsey guy. Freaking love the way that dude plays football. But for whatever reason, they just can't put it together, and I trust Andrew Luck against a subpar defense to come up big late if a play needs to be made. Certainly a lot more than I trust Bortles.
It's interesting that we saw Ryan Tannehill really have his starting position challenged. Was that just last year or was that 2 years ago now that the coach basically said, you know, rise up or we're going to put you on the bench, fella? And so he did. I feel like the Jags and, in fact, Gus Bradley is in that position. I think if they lose this game, that's been the buzz that he may not be on the plane back to the U.S. of A.
Yeah.
Any sense that maybe that they've got the metal to?
They've got no running game. You know, I mean their defense has been bad.
That's what I think though. I think Chris Ivory can bang on that lousy Colts defense.
Yeah.
This should be a shootout at the very least, right?
Yeah, and I remember a couple of years ago when Atlanta didn't look good in London, they flew back and people were speculating about Mike Smith then, and I think that's going to happen with Gus Bradley if this ends up being 30-13 Colts, man.
I hear you, but one more thing, the Colts also stink.
They do. Yeah.
I mean,
they do.
The Colts very easily could be 0-3.
Their defense has been worse than the Jags.
But they got a big win last week. I mean, that was a big win. Granted, it was a fluky win, and I hate this new unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
Yep.
It just seems like there are so many of them.
That's the point. They should be 0-3.
Yes, they should be. But, you know, a lot of times that single win, I'm going to take this off because it's hard to balance it. I get too emotional, you know, when I start talking, gesticulating, and things bouncing around. That the sombrero on my head is what I'm talking about. There's something about a win like that. You know, when you're staring at 0-3 and you get that lucky break and it's something you can build on, it's like we talked about earlier, it's a totally winnable division. And I like Frank Gore. I know he's old and everybody's waiting
for
his leg to fall off, but I think they lean on him. It'll open things up. We know what Andrew Luck's capable of. They have good receivers, even with Dante Moncrief out. I'm fine going Colts.
I think it'll be a comfortable win. Money, final verdict here. Do you wish to throw the red challenge flag?
On
the Elliott's pick of the Colts?
No, I'm going Colts.
Okay, so Colts is the
pick.
Next up, MVP.
Next up, we have Lions versus Bears quesadilla. Tex-Mex visits the Midwest for those with a distaste for zest. Our melted Kettler is replaced with an aged, shredded Hoyer as he tries to keep up with the bubbling Stafford. Don't forget to ask for extra Jeffrey sauce as it tends to mask an otherwise inedible dish.
It's not selling the dish very good.
Matt Money
Smith. No,
Lions.
Lions. All right, Elliot, let's dig in on this
one.
The Lions are on the road.
That's it.
Lions are on the road in Chicago. The Bears may well be the worst team in the NFL, an NFL that, as a reminder, does include the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I tell you what, this is the exact kind of game the Lions would just go in and just be flat, but I don't see it. I think this Detroit team's actually pretty sneaky. I think Detroit wins this game, and I think they win it by multiple scores.
Yeah.
I'm with you, and you know, that Lions team, we would feel very differently. Of course, we can play what if all day, but if you know, they don't, if Mariota doesn't throw that ball, and you know, that was a was an unusual play at the least. They just throw a jump ball for Andre Johnson. It worked out.
It wasn't even a 50-50 ball. No. It was a 33-67 ball because there are two guys right there with
it. Most guys do.
Well, I did that just for you because you do internal rate of return when we're in the
Jim Bob Cooter over Calvin Johnson, apparently, is the lesson there. The Jim Bob Cooter is more important to the
– Hey, Matt Stafford's got to see the whole field, man. He's got to see the whole field.
But he's not.
Just throw it up.
He's still just throwing it to Marvin Jones. I mean, Golden Tate might as well not exist, although Ebron's been mixed in.
Gotten
and you
involved,
got Riddick
man.
Out of the backfield. Certainly, they're spreading it around. And
hanging a little bit
Dwayne
with Dwayne
Washington.
Washington
man,
that's
watch.
Right. All right, Elliot, go ahead. We've analyzed it now. Do you wish to throw the red challenge flag at Matt Money Smith's pick of the Detroit Lions over the Chicago Bears?
I do not. I don't even think.
Bears are the worst team in football.
This is a great uni matchup, though.
It is a nice one, yeah. Except when they went through that brief period, the Lions, when they would wear blue pants on the road. That was a ill-conceived notion. All right, Emma, what is next on the menu?
Our third special is the Broncos versus Bucks burrito. And Aqib Talib Rap Winston attempts to neutralize the bold no-fry zone and Denver's simmering Simeon offense. Don't expect a kick out of our Aguayo. He's more missed than hit.
Oh, that's tremendous, Emma.
Well,
Emma.
Done.
I mean tremendous.
That sounds delicious, Emma. Elliot, how say you?
I'm sorry, I was practicing my Emma. Did I do that right?
Emma.
Broncos.
All right, Matt Money Smith. Broncos at Tampa Bay. The Broncos now seem to have solidified their hold on the second best team in the AFC.
The Broncos aren't going to go undefeated. They're just not. Not with Trevor Siemian at quarterback. Not with the, you know, I don't want to say perennially injured, but it seems like we're going to get a C.J. Anderson injury at some point this season. This just isn't the game.
I so want to take the Buccaneers because
I understand.
I think, you know, here's the dirty secret of that very good Broncos defense this year. They're being had on the ground. Now, that's because of the philosophy that Wade Phillips is throwing out there. He wants teams to be throwing on him, but nevertheless, you can run on them. Doug Martin would likely have a day. Charles Sims, I don't know.
He's been okay.
Yeah, I you know what? I am going to go with the Buccaneers
All right.
here. I'm going to go bold here. The Buccaneers, a little wonky out of the gate here. I hear your concerns on the coaching situation, whether
not a big Dirk Cutter
guy. is real. You know, by the way, there's a great piece floating around, and we talked about this in December and January last year and through the offseason. When people say, where are the coaches? What are you going to do? Like, you know, there aren't viable options to hire right now. What about why, you know, Josh McDaniels, I think people waited a year too long. I know the Broncos experience wasn't great, but you learn. Belichick learned from his first head coaching gig. I think Josh McDaniels would have been a better fit here with Jameis and company. But either way, I'm going to take the Broncos here. I'm going to take the Bucks here because of what you said, Money. I know that's not hard X and O logic there, but the Broncos are not going to go undefeated with Trevor Siemian.
Can I ask?
I'm staying Broncos.
Yeah,
so no red challenge.
And I'm not throwing the challenge, but I'd like to ask
you wouldn't anyway.
Our waitress.
I would throw it.
I'd like to ask our waitress a question about the menu.
Sure. I'd be the one that threw the flag. You wouldn't be able to.
Well, whatever. I'm surprised as a dessert we don't have maybe some vanilla ice cream smothered over a Siemian toast crunch. How come?
Listen, we stopped down for?
We stopped
you know what this is?
That.
I'll tell you exactly what this is.
Because the Broncos are a special, and that's not a dessert.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what.
How about this? How about you leave the comedy to the comedy writer, okay? How about you stay in your lane?
Yeah. What that was when you're at the Mexican restaurant and you're like, oh, somebody's like, oh, well, hold on a second. I'm going to eat this raw jalapeno right now and see how it goes. That's what you just did to all of us. You attacked us right there. All right, one more special to go on the menu, Emma. What is it?
Our last special is the Cowboys versus 49ers tacos. Run into an instant classic with ground California high tacos along with a spread of our Chips Kelly offense. Only the brave will dive deep into the fourth round to try out our mysterious Prescott Pepper without the aid of X Factor Bryant.
Before a pick is made here, I have to say what I said on the Sheck Report week 3. The only thing, and maybe I'm a little cross because I was rooting for the Steelers to beat the Eagles, but I don't love the Eagles and the Cowboys patting themselves on the back for things that sort of they passively came to them. Carson Wentz came to you, and he would not be your starting quarterback if the Vikes hadn't said, hey, we'll give you a first-round pick for Sam Bradford.
But
so, same for the Cowboys.
But they wanted Paxton Lynch, but they didn't take him.
And Jerry Jones lamented that, and then, well, we better get somebody. They took Dak. In the case of the Eagles,
they made sure that Carson Wentz was going to be there. They were not into Jared Goff. They made sure that that's the way it was going to play out. So that was their guy. They trade up to get him. And they didn't have to trade Sam Bradford. I mean, they had already named him their starter. So, you know, the fact that they were willing to do it and risk, you know, what is a pretty good defense, some veterans on that team, it's not like it's chock full of youngsters. I mean, that was a pretty bold move to make that trade and risk losing all your vets. Like, what the heck? We're just mailing in the season now. If they did not think – take off the hat. If they didn't think that Carson Wentz could handle it.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you on this one, dude, because for a couple reasons. Number one
– that means he's getting serious.
Well, think about it. They signed Chase Daniel to $7 million.
He could have been the starter.
And people were like, what are you doing? You're trading up to get Wentz. You've got Chase Daniel making $7 million as a third stringer. And then Dallas, there were people in that organization that sold the Joneses on Prescott and said, hey, look at this guy's tape. Yeah, we didn't get who he wanted. It's not just the owner. I mean, your scouting department sometimes has to sell you somebody, and there are people in that organization that like Dak Prescott.
You sound like Jeff Fisher. That's the Jeff Fisher position.
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, Jared would be playing if there were injuries, and, you know, the only reason Dak's playing is, okay, that's fine, but they're playing great, and you traded 6 picks to go get a guy who can't beat out Case Keenum, who's got a QB rating of like 53.
All you have to do, Jeff Fisher, is I'm not all you have to do. Easier said than done. But listen, what Jared Goff gives you is the ability to stretch the field in a way Case Keenum can, and you say to the kid, don't turn the ball over. If it's too large for him to not do that, and he's fumbling and throwing bad picks, and you sit him down and you go Case Keenum then.
I think if Case Keenum gets hurt, God forbid, you will see Sean Mannion by the following week. Yeah. Jared Goff will never play an entire game.
All right, let's get to it then. Elliot Harrison, Cowboys, 49ers, choose.
Cowboys.
All right. Matt Money Smith. Yeah. The Niners are not half bad. The defense is not an embarrassment.
It's okay.
It's got some decent parts
to it. It's not great. It's okay. Here's why I like.
And I like Carlos Hyde.
I like the 49ers because they can just rely on a dominant running game. I'm not saying that their offensive line is going to get a lot of push against that defense, but they're going to probably get a lot of push against that defense. If Jordan Howard can come in and move the ball, you know, 75, 85 yards, whatever it was, on minimal carries, I suspect Carlos Hyde's going to have himself a day, and I'm with you. I don't have a lot of faith in the Cowboys. No Dez. You're telling me Cole Beasley's probably going to be your leading receiver. I love Ezekiel Elliott. But they're just going to stack the box and dare Dak to – jeez, that's tough to say – and dare Dak to go deep. And he's probably not going to have a lot of options
Elliot
to do that.
And I have had this conversation many times over the last 2 or 3 years as Jason Witten's best days fade into the distance. They never – it's one of those positions on a certain team that just endlessly goes unaddressed is the number two receiver to Dez Bryant, and now they're finally going to get bitten by that.
Well, they tried with Terrence Williams. And
well, I know, but Terrence Williams, the book was in on him 2 years ago. You knew he was only going to be so good.
Cerebral player, though. I mean, when you need him to make the right play, all right. But he lacks in physical attributes, he makes up.
All right, Matt Money Smith. It's time. Yeah!
Going Niners.
He throws the flag. That's a good way to end it.
I know a good way to settle this. Who's right, though? I mean, just
well, the game will be played, and then we'll come back next week. And we'll
but we're
it
all
out.
Three here. I mean, why not? You know, bring back the physical challenge just for one game.
I say this: here's the physical challenge. Okay. The loser of this one, we will do a Photoshop of you dressed like Cam Newton was at the in the post game press conference last.
Oh, I have that outfit. I'll just bring it in.
Oh, perfect.
You don't have to photo.
I was kind of hoping we could have Dave put on the sombrero and see which one of us could get the little ghosty to stick in the hat.
All right, we'll revisit it. Okay, I'm open to all
ideas. How
about
you just eat a jalapeno?
Time is of the essence, so let's move along.
Eat the jalapeno. Come on.
Very quickly.
My Invisalign is.
Give us our two desserts real quick
here. Here's our first dessert. Chiefs versus Steelers churros. End your night on a high note. Go for two of our chocolate or plain-breaking bell churros with Sammy Cinnamon coating. Hmm. Complete with a Shazier Smothered Smith and a dusting of Peters, this defensive fight is a certified delight.
I see your little shot near the top there. Chiefs and Steelers. I get what you're doing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I am going to take the Steelers to rise back up. That was a humiliating offensive performance. Of the two things, the thing that concerns me more about this one is, or the things that we saw in Philadelphia, the 3 points is woeful, period. But the thing that might be a real issue for Pittsburgh, they'll get the with Levy and Bell back, they'll get it right offensively. They didn't stop the run. Javon Hargrave and Cam Hayward and Stephon Tuitt, who was previously just blowing stuff up, Tuitt was, I mean, they just were no-shows in Philly. That's going to be a real problem, certainly against Alex Smith and the run-based Chiefs there. I do think, though, that Lev Bell back in there, feel good, at home, all that stuff.
Yeah, I think, Elliot, for me, the interesting thing about this game is the Eagles showed them the math because it's very similar personnel when you think about what obviously it's Doug Peterson leading Andy Reid and going, but you had those just little dump off passes to Darren Sproles that are going for 60 and 70 yards, and same thing with Kenyon Barner. And I'm not saying the Chiefs have similar personnel, but they obviously have that same offensive philosophy, and that's what makes it a little more intriguing to me than it otherwise would be, because the blueprint's there. The two men think exactly the like when it comes to offensive philosophy, and the Chiefs are certainly good enough.
The Chiefs are
especially
for real.
On
Chiefs
defense now that they're healthy.
Well, once they get Justin Houston back midway through the year, look out.
I thought you were just supposed to give your pick.
No, we're into desserts now. We're not doing Red Challenge anymore.
Well, the play I think you're referring to, the Darren Sproles up the sideline.
Yep.
If I need to watch it again, but it looked like Wentz
baited Ryan Shazier
into
That's
stepping
exactly
up.
What happened? Yep.
You talk about Doug Peterson. This goes all the way back to when Andy Reid's first year in Philadelphia. He wanted Doug Peterson to come in and be the starting quarterback for that Eagles team when they drafted Donovan McNabb. So I agree with you. The DNA is all there. To your point about stopping the run, the reason that's scary is everyone points to the Steelers' secondary as being their Achilles heel. If they can't stop the run, then they're doomed in the play.
Well, the asterisk that the Steelers' defense deserves in that game were the injuries. I mean, they very quickly, and they came real fast and early in the game with Shazier, with the knee was troubling him, Lawrence Timmons, who's no longer Lawrence Timmons, but still a better option than what they have behind him. He had to sit down and so on. Robert Golden had to sit down. So anyway, we'll see what happens there. That game's going to be fascinating for both.
One more thing.
I think one of those two teams rises up and becomes the clear number two, number three but the Patriots are so much better than anybody else.
But one more thing on your point there, what Pittsburgh faced Matt Jones week one, Jeremy Hill week two, right? Last week they faced Darren Sproles and Ryan Matthews. If Jamal Charles is 100%
and they get a 1-2 of Ware and Charles,
that's a tough deal. Yeah.
I hear you, but I will be. I'm looking forward to seeing what Haley's cooked up with Lev back there, plus D'Angelo on the field. All right, and then the Giants and Vikings. I'm going to go with the upset here. I'm going to go Giants. I'll say you. Just give me a name.
Vikings.
All right, that's it. Great times.
Oh no, I took the Giants.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, I did.
Matt Money Smith, Gangbusters. Like I say, one half of the best sports radio show in all the land. It is Petros and Money. Track it down on iHeartRadio or in LA 570 AM, and also watch him on NFL Fantasy.
Elliot
Harrison. You can watch him there as well. And Total Access. Look for his power rankings and his game picks every week on NFL.com.
You got to look him in the eye when you say it.
Him, Matt Gothard, and Ryan Bartlett, and everybody else behind the glass. Sully, we'll miss you.
Go on, eat a pepper.
And
it's over.
And that's it. We'll be back after week four, before week five, to break that one down for you. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans.
Come on.
It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Hammer.